Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. It is Tuesday, so we are just getting started with this week. I am excited, as always, to bring you another author interview. Today I am interviewing author Jim Heskett. We are talking about his book, Nailgun Messiah, which is actually the first in a series of books about a character called Micah Reed. There are currently 8 books in that series, with at least one more to come. So we're talking about the first book in the series. There is also a prequel to that book called Airbag Scars. So we're talking about Nailgun Messiah, and let me give you the description of Nailgun Messiah. Micah Reed has a knack for ticking off the wrong people at the wrong time. When his latest attempt to do the right thing angers some drug dealers, he takes refuge in the sleepy mountain town of Nederland. He plans on finding his sister Magda and disappearing into obscurity with her. Micah is in for a big surprise. When he learns his sister lives in a commune, Micah immediately butts heads with Lila, the ever-watchful woman in charge. As the cult leader turns her menacing attentions toward him, Micah senses an even greater threat that no one else sees coming. Can he convince Magda to flee to safety before it's too late, or will he lose her forever in the process? So that is the description of Nailgun Messiah by Jim Heskett. As I said, it is the first in a series of books about a character called Micah Reed. Micah is an interesting character because he's very complex in some ways and very normal in other ways. He's very human, which you don't always see in the heroes of books. Sometimes they are larger than life and they seem to know what's going to happen before it happens, and they're always 10 steps ahead of what's going on. That's not Micah. Micah has a very complicated past. He's a recovering alcoholic. He, at this point in the series, makes a lot of questionable choices. He's only, I think, about 4 or 5 months sober at this point in his story. So he's still new to his sobriety. He's still struggling with that. He is, he can be very selfish at times, but he clearly loves his sister. He has her best intentions at heart. So we see that human side of him. And you get glimpses of that person that wants to do better throughout the story. So Mike is really interesting in that he's still very, very new in this process of creating a new life after all kinds of things have happened in his past. So he is interesting to watch as he struggles with figuring out what he's going to do next, what his choices are going to be, and I look forward to getting to know Micah better as the series goes on, and Jim talks a little bit about some of the rest of the series and Micah's progression. Not too much. Don't want to give spoilers about the books upcoming in the series, but I just thought it was an interesting hero in Micah. And there is then another series, kind of a spin-off series, that just the first book just came out this month, actually March 18th, and that has a main character called Lane Parrish, and he is a character in the later Micah Reed novels. So if you start reading Micah Reed and you enjoy his books and his characters and you're looking for a little bit more, then you can read those Lane Parrish books as well. Speaking of, if you enjoy a character, if you enjoy a book, I have giveaway copies of Nailgun Messiah for you. So stay stay tuned, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the podcast, how you can win a copy of Nailgun Messiah. As a reminder, the giveaways for our first three giveaways, those contests are still open. Those are open until March 31st. So this Saturday, if you want a copy of those three books, and that is The Devil's Poetry by Louise Cole, Instrument of the Devil by Debbie Burke, and Bridge Daughter by Jim Nelson, you can still enter into those giveaways. So I would love for you to win some free books. Go and sign up for those. And as I said, there'll be more information at the end of this podcast as to how you can win a copy of Nailgun Messiah by Jim Heskett. So on that note, let's turn to that interview with Jim, and he can tell you a little bit more about the Micah Reed series. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's wonderful to have you here. We are going to talk about your book, Nailgun Messiah. But before we get to the book, I would love for my listeners just to get to know you a little bit. So if you could share something about yourself, that would be great.
Sure. So my name is Jim Heskett, and I'm an author, which everybody already knew that already. I'm originally from Oklahoma, and I moved to a suburb of Denver in 2004 and have lived here since then, aside from a brief stint traveling the world in 2009 when I moved to Australia and then Singapore and traveled around a bit. I'm married with a small child. I have a day job, and I'm just trying to get everything I can out of living out here in Colorado. It's a beautiful spring day as we're recording this.
Nice.
Life is good.
Yeah, no snow?
No. It's been a couple weeks since it snowed.
Oh, wow.
Spring hit pretty hard last week.
Nice. That sounds lovely. So talk to us about the book Nailgun Messiah. It's the first in the series about a character called Micah Reed.
That's right. It's Micah Reed book one, and there is a book zero that takes place before it, but book one is Nailgun Messiah is the first official book in the series. The idea for the book came that I was always fascinated by the idea of cults, religious cults, and that's what this book centers around. And I specifically liked the idea about a cult that doesn't think it's a cult. You know, like when you see cults on the news, they're always huge, like Om Shinrikyo or Jonestown that have hundreds of members. So I liked the idea of like a cult with only a few people in it that was sort of struggling and trying to get bigger and recruit people. But when I first outlined the book and I first had the idea and wrote it down, it didn't work because I didn't have the right character in it. And it didn't really come fully formed until I invented the character of Micah Reed. And then once I plugged him in, it was relatively easy to write, actually.
Okay. So talk a little bit about Micah. He's got a difficult past. I guess I'll just put it that way.
Well, I don't think he's, so he's in his early 30s, and he is in witness protection, or he was formerly in witness protection, but he's dropped out because he does have a pretty checkered past. And he's sort of an everyman who's caught up in a situation bigger than himself. And he's definitely not like a larger than life type, like a Jack Reacher or whatever the guy's name is from the Brad Thor books that I can't, it's not coming to mind right now, but he's definitely not that type of action hero. He's a recovering alcoholic. And back when he was drinking, he found himself after flunking out of college and not being able to hold down a job. He found himself in the employ of these people who were paying him well to do tasks like deliver packages and go pick up people. And he didn't ask too many questions. And then before he knew it, he realized that he was actually in the employ of an American branch of the Sinaloa cartel. And at that point, he was pretty much in too deep, and he couldn't just walk away from it. So then that leads to him being arrested and becoming a witness for the prosecution and then entering witness protection and then subsequently dropping out of witness protection because he can't handle all the scrutiny. And then that's essentially where the Micah Reed novels begin, is that he's dropped out of witness protection, and so he doesn't have any protection and doesn't have anybody helping him out anymore, and he's living a new life in a new city with a new name. Micah Reed isn't even his given name. He's living in a new place, and he's having to figure out how to live life while constantly looking over his shoulder.
Okay, so there you have Jim's description of Micah Reed and his book, Nailgun Messiah. We are going to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit about the prequel, which is called Airbag Scars, and then a little bit more about the rest of the series. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. Today I am interviewing Jim Heskett about his Micah Reed series. We've just been talking about the first book in the series, Nailgun Messiah, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the prequel or book zero, which is called Airbag Scars. So you did mention that there's a book zero, there's a prequel, Airbag Scars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so does that give a little bit more, we'll talk a little bit about that. What does that, how much of the lead-in to Micah's story does that give us?
I would say that there is more exposition about Micah and his background and airbag scars. Like, basically, the series essentially follows Micah as he gets sober, and then he gets sober in airbag scars. And so when Nailgun Messiah takes place, he's a few months, he's maybe 3 or 4 months sober. And that's as he stays sober as the series goes on, and so you get to see him grow and change, and essentially he learns how to make better decisions and not be as selfish. And in Airbag Scars, you're seeing a very raw, very, very hurting Micah. I felt like Nailgun Messiah was a better book to start the series with. And then Airbag Scars was more like if you wanted the full immersion experience, kind of, you definitely see a more raw and hurting Micah. And so there's more about his past, but then a later book in the series actually goes back, shows him younger when he was in the drug cartel. So the books in the chronology do jump around in time, so you get to see various points in his life.
Yeah, and that's what I kept thinking as I was reading this, was that he's essentially he's a good guy, but you read the book kind of questioning some of his motives, some mm-hmm. of his choices. So he's not quite an anti-hero, but he's not a full, action hero either, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, I really like anti-heroes. Some of the best characters in fiction and on television and movies have been anti-heroes, like Walter White from Breaking Bad, or Michael Corleone, or Gaius Baltar from Battlestar Galactica. These are some great anti-heroes, but I consider them to be like people who do bad things for the right reason, or who do good things for bad reasons, like Tony Soprano. And Micah Reed is more like a guy who's just trying to figure out how to live life a better way. He wants to do the right thing, but he's sort of hampered by his past, and he's hampered by his alcoholism. And so I think I guess I wouldn't consider him an anti-hero. I mean, he definitely does make some poor decisions. It might be frustrating for the reader sometime because you expect your hero to always do the smart thing, and Micah doesn't always do the smart thing, and sometimes his decisions land him in a worse off situation. But I think that at least makes for some good drama.
It does. And he's very human. He's very flawed and broken. So often we get main characters who are larger than life and maybe seem a little more than human. And so it's nice that he is human. He makes decisions like we would make decisions that aren't always, the right ones.
Yeah, it's not interesting to me to read about a character who always does the right thing. I mean, that's boring. We want to see people mess up, and want to see people have to claw their way out of the muck, have to dig themselves out of holes. That, to me, that's drama. That's interesting to me.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about Boba Fett, because Micah in Nailgun Messiah, maybe in the rest of the series too, I haven't read beyond Nailgun Messiah, has the head of a Boba Fett action figure always in his pocket or near him somewhere. Talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted Micah to have a little affectation. I wanted him to have a little totem, partly because I'm a big Star Wars fan, and so I usually have a Boba Fett action figure somewhere within reach for me. I don't actually carry one around in my pocket like Micah does, but so yeah, Boba Fett serves multiple purposes in the book. One is because, I don't know if I revealed this in Nailgun Messiah, but the Boba Fett is a gift from the action figure was a gift from his father.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's in witness protection, he's not allowed to have contact with his family. And so he kind of carries around Boba Fett as a reminder of his dad. And also it's just that it's sort of like a play on the recovering alcoholic theme of having a higher power, like having someone or something that you reach out to help for. So Boba Fett sort of becomes Micah's constant companion and someone that he talks to. And I don't think you see this in Nailgun Messiah, but in the books where Micah is drinking, and the books where Micah, where it shows him younger before he got sober, when he talks to Boba Fett, Boba Fett talks back. That doesn't happen after he gets sober, but...
Right. I just like the choice of Boba Fett also because Boba Fett is also a very human character, as we get to know a little bit more in the subsequent Star Wars movies. You know, he's not necessarily good. He's not necessarily bad. He's just who he is. So,
yeah, fair point.
So that's my little Star Wars segue right there. But how many books are in this Micah Reed series currently?
There are, including Airbag Scars, Book Zero, there have been 8 released. The last one came out last November, and that was named Shock Collar. And the next book, so the 9th book in the series, is called Paper Tiger, and that's coming out later this year, I think probably either April or May. I haven't decided for sure yet, but it's finished, so I'm just waiting to put it on the release calendar. Yeah, so that makes 9 altogether, and there's probably going to be one more after that that will wrap up the series, but I don't know, I might change my mind. I mean, it's the hard part is that I know that it would be a good time to end the series, and I have a great idea for the final Micah Reed story, but I love him so much, and I don't want to see him go away, so I think probably for the foreseeable future, I'm just going to like work on other projects for a while and punt on that decision because I don't want to have to make it right now.
Right. Okay. So do you want to talk a little bit about some of the other books that you've written? I think you've got a series, the main character is Lane Parrish. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes. Lane Parrish is the newest series that I'm writing. And Lane Parrish started his life as a side character in the Micah Reed books. And he appeared in several of them. I think 4 or 5 of the books he appears in. As he's sort of an id to Micah's ego, in that Lane is more of the action hero type. You know, he's a big brawny guy with arm sleeve tattoos, and you know, he's 6'4" and 275 pounds of muscle. And so I just figured he was an odd choice to have as a friend for Micah, because he would be a nice balance to him. Whereas Micah overthinks things, and Lane just sort of knows the right thing to do. And then I wanted Lane to have his own series because I thought he could have an interesting path to explore. And so I wrote a book called Shadow Soldiers, and that was entered into the Kindle Scout competition last year, and it was selected. So that was just published by Kindle Press last week, actually.
Oh, wow.
March 21st or 22nd of 2018. And I'm currently working on the sequel to that.
Okay. So when it comes to your characters, you spent a lot of time with Micah, obviously, but how much sort of backstory do you have in mind when you start writing a character? Do you do that before you start writing a character, or does that kind of develop as you go along?
That's tough to answer. It's different for every character. With Micah, I set out to write a very specific kind of character because I love thrillers. I love reading thrillers, but I was also kind of tired of wooden heroes. I love Jack Reacher. Jack Reacher's great because he doesn't take any guff off anybody. He doesn't take any slack off anybody. And so there's something enviable about that. But Jack Reacher doesn't have a whole lot of humanity to him. So I wanted to write a thriller character who had a whole lot of humanity. And that's basically where the idea of Micah came from, is essentially he started with this idea of like, what would be a good example of dramatic irony in a character? And I thought of a remorseful hitman, like a hitman who felt bad about killing people. That was the initial idea. And I just started with that. And then, so, you know, I softened him a little bit because it's hard to make a hitman very sympathetic.
Right.
But, you know, I injected some of my own life into him, and just over time, and that's initially like what I said when I outlined Nailgun Messiah, it didn't work because I just kind of had a generic character to it. But then the idea for Micah came, the idea about, well, what if it's this guy who, because the premise of the story is that he's trying to do the right thing and help somebody at the very beginning, but his actions anger some people, and so he has to skip town. And when he skips town, he does something that he's really not supposed to do, and that he goes and he tries to seek refuge with his sister, and he's not supposed to do that. And it's a selfish decision when he does that because it puts her in danger. But he's not thinking like that because he's not really capable of thinking outside of himself that much at this point. And then, you know, he gets there and he realizes that she's in danger too, and he has to help her. And so I just liked this idea of a character who was willing to realize that he had to put himself at risk in order to help someone who really needed it. And so that's what I think where people can relate to Micah is that he, in a way, he's sort of like all of us because he doesn't want to make the tough decisions and he doesn't want to experience pain. But in a way, he's also kind of got that hero's journey thing of refusing the call and then accepting the call because it's the right thing to do. And so hopefully people can see themselves in Micah and then also see something to envy or something to strive for in him.
Mm-hmm. And he really is motivated. I think we see the kind of the best and the worst in Micah when he's motivated by his sister, because he is clearly cares for his sister and wants to help her, but he's also kind of single-minded about his wanting to help her. And, you know, he doesn't want, he makes decisions about doing some other things that could help other people because he's so focused on that relationship with his sister.
Yeah, he does have a hard time seeing outside of himself at times. And that's something that I think that he grows and changes over the course of the books, and he's able to think less selflessly. And that was part of the reason why I wanted him to make a friend later. Why in the third book is where he makes friends with Lane Parrish and where Lane Parrish came from. It's like I wanted Micah to have someone who is very different from himself to react to and to learn from, because Lane Parrish is much more like a Boy Scout. He's much more like the kind of guy who does the right thing no matter what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, which is very much not like Micah. And so Micah could look at him and go, wow, how does he live his life like that and put the needs of others first?
Mm-hmm. Jumping in here so we can take our second break of the podcast, our final break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about the series, but also how Jim got into writing, who his favorite authors are, all of those good nosy questions that I like to ask my authors. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and the conclusion to my interview with author Jim Heskett. So when did you start writing? Is it something that you've always wanted to do, or did you come to it later in life? How did that work?
Well, I think initially, I was destined to be a writer because when I was a little kid and I would play with the other little kids out on the playground, I think I was the only one who insisted that our playtime have a narrative arc. our little stories that we played out in the playground had to have a beginning, middle, and end when I was the one controlling the story. But I first started taking writing, I wouldn't say seriously, but I first had to sit down and put pen to paper when I was in my teenage years, because I was, really into Stephen King at the time. And so I wanted to write like him. And so, I wrote some horror stories and stuff. And then in high school, it was mostly writing terrible poetry to woo women.
Sure.
Then in my my late 20s, I had a friend who had written some screenplays, and we became roommates. And so we wrote a couple of things together, and that pretty much rekindled my love for telling stories. And then so eventually I wrote some screenplays of my own and entered competitions and did well, but I saw that Hollywood was a game that was just way too hard to break into, and I wasn't willing to move to Los Angeles to try to become a hustler out there. But then I realized that I could just write my own fiction, and then I would have control over it, and so that essentially, led me to where I am now, lots of many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of words later.
All right, thank you. Do you have advice for other authors, aspiring authors maybe?
Yeah, I think so. First, I wouldn't call yourself an aspiring author. That would be my first piece of advice. Just call yourself, if you're not published yet, just call yourself a writer. But I would say focus on character. Because there's really only a few plots out there in the world, and no matter how unique or original you think your plot is, it's been done. There's a few plot archetypes. There's boy meets girl, there's girl catches a killer, there's boy prevents a murder or solves a conspiracy, whatever it is, there's not that many plots out there in the world, and all the stories have been done before. But what makes people want to read your story is the character that's experiencing that plot. If you think about what I think makes the Marvel movies so popular, and why they're really the only thing that gets released in big theaters these days, isn't the star power who's in them, or it isn't the spectacle of the special effects. It's really that 30, 40, 50 years ago, Stan Lee created some amazing characters. If you think about Peter Parker, he's an amazing character because he's just this kid who fights crime, and he's out to catch street thugs because he couldn't prevent street thugs from hurting and killing his aunt, or killing his uncle and hurting his aunt. He's driven by this sense of guilt and this need to repair and become strong because of his inner weakness and his indecision in that moment. And that's a really powerful character, I think. Another great example is in that Rocky Balboa sequel, Creed, that came out a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a character in that movie. The movie's about Apollo Creed's son, and he has this upstairs neighbor, this young woman who he's courting. And this young woman is she wants to become a singer. She wants to make it in the music business, but she has this degenerative health condition where she's losing her hearing. And so she's going to be completely deaf in just a couple of years, and she won't be able to sing anymore, but she still is holding on to that dream of becoming a singer, at least right now. And I think that's a fascinating character. I want to see a movie about her. That tension and that awful dramatic irony of those two things, of wanting to make it in the music business but going deaf, that's a fascinating character, and that really draws me to the story. So, to sum up, if you have a great character, your readers will keep coming back to see what that character is going to do next time. That's my advice.
Okay, thank you. When you've mentioned a couple, Stephen King, you've mentioned the character of Jack Reacher. When you read, what are your favorite genres, and who are your favorite authors?
I read really widely. I read all kinds of stuff, but I guess if you were to look at it statistically, based on the number of his books that I've read and enjoyed, I'd have to say Stephen King. I mean, I've certainly read some of his books that I hated and couldn't finish, but I've read a lot of his books that I just loved. And I've also always been a fan of Neil Gaiman, Cormac McCarthy. I think The Road might be my favorite book. Max Barry is an Australian author who wrote a thriller called Lexicon that I think is amazing. And there's some really great indie authors out there right now that are doing some amazing stuff, like Nick Thacker and Kevin Tomlinson and Adam Cross. There's some indie authors out there that are really making some great independent fiction right now.
Where can people find you on the internet? Do you have a website? Do you have social media?
I do. You can find me basically anywhere. my website is jimheskett.com, J-I-M-H-E-S-K-E-T-T.com, and if you go there, you can get some free books. I'm on Facebook as author Jim Heskett. I'm on YouTube as author Jim Heskett. I'm on Twitter, but I hate Twitter, so I'm never there. I've got a podcast that I just started up again called the Thriller Fiction Podcast, where I read some of my stuff in a serialized format. So, yeah, I'm virtually everywhere.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. What else is there anything that we haven't talked about that you would like for people to know about your books, about your writing, about anything that we haven't covered?
Sure. So I think if you look at my website, you'll see the tagline up there at the top of the site says Thrillers with Smarts. I wanted to make it Thrillers with Brains, but then I thought people would assume I wrote zombie fiction. So it's Thrillers with Smarts because I want to write a better thriller. I want you to fall in love with my characters and fall in love with my stories. I want you to keep coming back and getting the next book because you want to see what happens to my characters. You know, I'm not curing cancer or inspiring a new generation with my fiction, you know, but if I can make you forget about your troubles for a few hours, then I feel like I've done my job.
Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to me about Nailgun Messiah, which is the first in a series about Micah Reed. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
Once again, thank you so much to Jim Heskett for joining me to talk about Nailgun Messiah and his Micah Reed series. I always appreciate when authors take time out of their day to sit down and talk about their books with me. Thank you, as always, for listening. I really, really appreciate it. I would not have a podcast without my lovely listeners. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening to these interviews. I hope that you enjoy them as much as I do. I hope you're finding some new books, some new authors, etc. Join me again on Thursday for my next author interview with author Priscilla Oliveras, who is the author of the Matched to Perfection series. We'll be talking about the second book in that series, and that is called Her Perfect Affair. So join me on Thursday for that interview. Speaking of enjoying new authors and new books, we have a giveaway, as I mentioned at the beginning. If you would like to receive a free copy of Nailgun Messiah by Jim Heskett, all you have to do, it's very simple, is go to one of our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and either share, retweet, or comment on the post. So if it's Facebook, just go to the Facebook and share the post for this episode, episode 68. Twitter, you just have to retweet episode 68, and Instagram, you comment on the post which has episode 68 in it. Have I said episode 68 enough to know so you know which episode it is? It's episode 68, interview with author Jim Heskett. And all you have to do is go on those social media platforms and share, retweet, or comment, and you will be entered into the giveaway. As I mentioned also at the beginning, you are still eligible to enter the giveaway for the first three books that we have. That is Bridge Daughter by Jim Nelson, Instrument of the Devil by Debbie Burke, and The Devil's Poetry. I knew it had devil in the title. The Devil's Poetry by Louise Cole. Again, go on to social media and share, retweet, etc. those episodes. Thank you so much for joining me. You can find all of those links for our social media pages in the notes of this episode. You'll be able to find Jim's information on our blog, which is www.gsmcbookreview.blogspot.com, and you'll be able to find all the links to his social media and website, etc., in that blog post. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. We actually have several new shows coming out in the next couple of weeks, so you'll definitely want to check those out. You can download all of our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, any place you listen to podcasts for your mobile devices. You can find us. And you can, of course, follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Thank you again. Please join me on Thursday for the interview with Priscilla Oliveras. In the meantime, get yourself lost in a good book.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.